Trust in the media hits an all-time low. Jobless claims up to 900,000 last week. The COVID relief stimulus bill might not actually be done until March. And President Joe Biden ignores his own mask mandate. I mean, seriously, what's that all about?
It's all about Alabama,
Hollywood,
rock and roll,
eating good,
sports in the deep south,
news from the White House,
indiscretions,
big stupid questions,
and all things extracurricular,
AM, FM, and online,
on Talk 99.5. It's a show about every damn thing,
and nothing in particular. You're listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk. 99.5.
All right. Okay, so yesterday I went to the doctor in the morning, got a clean bill of health. Everything was wonderful. She even called me with my blood work today, and apparently the only thing low is my potassium. I don't know why that would be, but eat a banana once in a while. You know what my cholesterol is, David Sears? Do you have any idea what my cholesterol is? You want to take a stab at this?
132.
That's a good guess. 123. You just got the last two reversed there. 123. The last time my cholesterol was this low, the guy who did the test looked at me and said, for the love of God, eat an egg now and then. Didn't know there was such a thing as too low cholesterol, but apparently there is. So, yeah, 123. Nah, no complaints there. Anyway, I said, I told you yesterday that when I was at the office, I coughed a couple of times. Just had a little, hey, what's going on with my throat? I don't know. Anyway, she wasn't concerned about it, and breathing was good, and everything was fine. Get home and did this show, and there was more coughing during the show and even more coughing after the show. And then I basically got overwhelmed with difficulty breathing and sore throat and a major headache. And I took my temperature, and it was 101. What are all these things symptoms of, I wonder? Anybody?
Did you go get your nose swabbed?
That's happening today at 3:30. As soon as I get off the air, I hop in my car and drive off to a clinic to get myself checked and see. But pretty sure I've got the Rona. Feeling fairly confident that this is the Rona.
Well, I'm glad you are away from me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I wouldn't be there under any circumstance, but I feel like I can probably put on a show. I mean, it can't be much worse than when I'm completely healthy, right? The shows are not that good when I'm 100% on the up and up.
See, I like that you're so honest about your horrendousness.
So I figure, just having a fever, which I do have right now. It's only about 100. But for a guy whose temperature tends to hover around 96.8, that's actually a pretty high temp. So I'm just going to continue to struggle through this. We'll take the test and see what it comes up as. I won't have answers until Sunday, so I've canceled basically my entire life between now and then. We'll see how today's show goes. If it's if it's too tough to pull off, then I'll have somebody else in here tomorrow. We'll take a weekend off and see where we stand. Still have my sense of taste and smell, but I understand that that's not the first thing to go. I've heard of some people for whom it happens early, but most people, you go a few days and then it just disappears. So we'll see if that happens. Some people go through the Rona and they never lose the sense of taste and smell. I don't know. Anyway,
did you ever have a sense of taste to begin with, though?
Have you seen the way I dress? No, obviously not. Clearly, I've never had any taste, except perhaps in women. That would be a fair assessment. Portions of today's show brought to you by my friends at Love Lady Electrical Contractors. They're good guys who, they adhere to all the safety protocols. That's important to a lot of people, that when they show up, they're wearing the gloves and the mask, and because they're messing around with your stuff. They're touching your things. And you would probably like to be assured that when they're doing it, they are using every last possible safety precaution that they can, and they do exactly that, not to mention giving you a great rate, a decent estimate that you're going to be real happy with, and then they stick to it, show up when they say they're going to, and get the job done quickly and correctly. I tell you, the skill is second to none when it comes to electricians. Love Lady Electrical Contractors, 603-3692. Tell them that you heard about it here and get yourself $30 off your initial phone call. Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Okay. Start with this, aside from the potential Rona. If I don't have it, I will have missed a really good chance here. I mean, I suppose it could just be like the flu, right? But I've heard the flu basically disappeared. It was killed by coronavirus. taken down like in a WWE wrestling match. It was brought to the mat and beaten endlessly.
Ooh, look, so you're in my wheelhouse, brother. Let's go.
No, I think we'll get into this. Each year, the American people seem to trust the media less and less. This is from the Daily Wire. It's funny because it includes not just the story of the study and the research, but it includes the reason why it's never going to change or be fixed. I'll just read portions of this to you because it's worth a listen. This year's annual survey from Edelman shows trust in traditional media and social media are at all-time lows. The annual trust barometer, shared exclusively with Axios, which is one of these left-wing websites that's part of the problem, found fewer than half of Americans trust traditional media for the first time since the survey began. That's, once again, fewer than half of Americans trust traditional media. That's the first time that number has been that low since the survey began. But it's not just a lack of trust, okay? Why would you not trust somebody or something? There's a number of reasons. Well, that guy screws up all the time. He makes a lot of mistakes, you know? I'm worried about him. Or he says he's going to be here at a certain time and he doesn't show up. That's a reason not to trust somebody, that they can't stay on time. He's told me multiple times he's going to change and he never does. Okay, that's a good reason. But how about this? 56% of Americans agree with the statement that journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. Once again, journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. That's what 56% of Americans agree with. That's a statement that 56% of Americans agree with. So there's another reason not to trust somebody. The guy lies. He lies all the time. He's a liar. This is why over half of America doesn't trust the media. They're liars. 58% think most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or political position than with informing the public. They'd rather their side be right, and they'll write it that way even if they're not, than tell us the truth. When Edelman re-polled Americans after the election, the figures had deteriorated even further. 57% of Democrats trust the media, but only 18% of Republicans, which is bad given the fact that we're split pretty much 50-50 if you take those who are whole hog on board with their political party and those that lean, okay? So here's the part that's the most interesting about this story. The media doesn't seem interested in repairing that trust. The first person Axios quoted about the problem was a woman trying to correct misinformation about vaccines, a laudable goal, but who told the New York Times, "We don't have a misinformation problem. We have a trust problem." I'm going to call that BS. That is not true. I would say we very much have a misinformation problem. I mean, for 2 years, the media reported breathlessly about sources who were familiar with the matter. That's just like one of those terms that you use when you don't want to use somebody's name. They don't want to give you their name because they don't want to be beholden to this. Sources that are familiar with the matter. And they claimed that Donald Trump colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election. Later, we get the Mueller report. Absolutely nothing. Nothing in there. Could not find anything. It was pathetic. I mean, the whole thing is embarrassing. Then you had the Covington Catholic situation where they said that this was a group of racist kids who were causing problems and, you know, taunting other groups. And it turns out that the exact opposite was true. And the media still wouldn't say, "Oh, gosh, we got that wrong. Sorry." No, they would rather give Nicholas Sandman hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, than say, "Sorry, we got that wrong. We shouldn't have done that." Think about that for a second. They would rather come up with millions of dollars to pay someone than admit that they were wrong when everyone could clearly see they were wrong. They wouldn't be admitting anything. We all know it. but they couldn't bring themselves to do it. And then you have the reverse case where you have Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett. This is where they bought wholly and entirely into the story of a guy who said that he was out during a polar vortex at 2 o'clock in the morning in a largely African-American section of Chicago. And two white guys in MAGA hats attacked him, happened to have a noose that they wrapped around his neck, and poured bleach on him. That didn't sound suspicious to them at all? Really? It's a polar vortex. The temperature's like minus 17. Minus 17. And we're in this African-American section of Chicago where white guys would stick out like a sore thumb, and you're telling me they're walking around here with Make America Great Again hats? And they think they're going to survive that trip? And they recognized you, the black gay actor from Empire? Point me toward one Trump supporter who would recognize Jussie Smollett just by looking at him. Seriously. And the media, nope, sounds good to me. Sounds exactly, that's reasonable. I see no reason to question or investigate this in any way, shape, or form. Morons. Story, of course, fell apart later. Media still hasn't apologized for that. Still hasn't. They still haven't come out and said, okay, here's another one we screwed up. Sorry. So Axios, who I've mentioned as part of the problem, instead of insisting the media stop spreading misinformation, Axios' big suggestion was for America's CEOs, which is the group found to be most trusted by those surveyed, start embracing news outlets. Well, if these CEOs would just say these news outlets are okay, then people would start trusting them. The CEOs aren't going to do that because they're part of America and they know that the news outlets aren't okay. I give you that information because this is really a good idea. This is actually a fair this is actually a really kind of interesting story in that we all like to think, oh, geez, nobody sees this. We're the only ones seeing this. We see this and nobody else sees this. 56% of America is on your side. 56% of America believes that the press makes crap up. They make it up. And that 58% believe that they're more interested in pushing an agenda than giving you the facts. You're not alone, is my point. You're not alone. And more importantly, the media seems to think that they're getting away with it, and they show no signs of stopping, and they're going to keep doing it. So when they go and continue and they're unchecked, it's going to become more and more obvious to more and more people, and the media will be an even larger joke than they are. There are news sources out there that are worthwhile. Sarah Carter's website, Just the News, a good place to go. I have others. I can share them with you as time goes by. But anyway, 545-9950 if you've got thoughts on the subject, 545-9950. I'm going to need your help today because I'm playing hurt. You know, I got this Rona thing. I think. I don't know. We'll find out. I won't know for sure until Sunday when the test results come back. But, yeah, I'm struggling a bit today, so more calls would be helpful. We'll get the big stupid question in and get the show up and lumbering under its own weight momentarily. Stick around.
Door.
Across the distance and
spaces. Rose had just moved her fat ass over. Jack would be alive today.
You say that, but Mythbusters actually proved there was not room that would have flipped the door had Jack got on there. Mythbusters proved that, yes, there was room, but it would not have been sustainable.
So, Mythbusters is now doing movies.
Oh, they do movies. They do stuff like, can you drop a cigarette and make a gas trail go off?
I saw that, actually, but that's not so much movies as it is, you know, the reality that, you know, you always believe that if you just drop a cigarette into gasoline that it would go. I watched that episode, actually, and they didn't really do it fair. They didn't treat it fairly because, you know, really it's the fumes of the gas that get exposed to flame and take off. And by just dumping the cigarette in, once they poured the gas out, they created a... Of course, the cigarette just went out. It's still dangerous. Don't smoke around gas fumes. That's just a good idea in general, kids, okay? I also saw the one where they were trying to put together a workable ejection seat like James Bond had in Goldfinger. And they never could. I mean, by the time they finally got the thing done, it was the most unwieldy, unpleasant-looking thing you'd ever seen. And they were like, yeah, no one would ever have this in your car. You would not accept this as a piece of interior decorating in your vehicle.
As big a fan of Breaking Bad as you are, they actually did the final scene where...
The gun. The big gun, yeah.
And that would actually work.
I'm sure it would.
But the only thing that was inaccurate about the TV show, it would shoot more at the ends when it would pause to pivot. So the ends had more more holes and bullet holes in them than the actual middle.
Uh-huh.
And they had the producer of Breaking Bad there, and he was like, I hate that I missed that. I wish I could have been more accurate.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you know, Breaking Bad was the model of accuracy, as we all know.
They were pretty accurate on how to make meth. They had the DEA out there to teach them how to do it.
There was a guy with a Pontiac Aztec who was considered cool, okay? That's a problem, I'm just saying.
Those are cool cars, my friend. They look like a block on wheels.
Yeah, very attractive. It's like somebody took a Honda Civic and blew it up. 1218, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com, Sentinel Firearms, SentinelFirearms.us. They're at 592-3004, 906 North 40th Street. And when you go to shoot, you can learn a thing or two. You can just get some practice in. It's a really good idea to get some practice in. In fact, I would insist upon getting all the training that you can while the training is good, because one never knows what is coming next. Gunsmithing is something that they truck in as well, plus firearm sales and accessories and low-priced ammo and classes. I mean, the list is endless. Find out more at SentinelFirearms.us, SentinelFirearms.us. They are the proud sponsor of...
The big, stupid question of the day.
Name a tragic song that has to do with death and or disaster. A tragic song that has to do with death and or disaster. You know, not all tragic songs are slow, like the Celine Dion one.
Oh, I've got a good one up next.
Okay. I mean, there's some pretty good upbeat... you know, songs about death and disaster that are worth a listen. 545-9950, the Birmingham Broker phone line. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I just heard from a friend of mine who says she's got the exact same symptoms I have, so I have to tell her if I have the Rona, because then she's going to assume that she has it too. Isn't that nice? We're now sharing information. I have to wonder, like, has anybody else been through this? Can somebody call and kind of give me a heads up? What am I expecting? What am I walking into? What am I going to be dealing with here? I'm okay with losing my sense of taste and smell if it happens, as long as it does come back eventually, because then there's no point in eating, right? It's like chewing rubber. Why would you want to do that? And you got nothing to worry about, I would think. You're not going to eat. You're not getting that mouth taste. You're not getting the smell being a huge amount of your taste. I'm okay with that, but are we talking about being bedridden? Are you able to get around. Not like I'm leaving the house or anything, because I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I've now set things up in such a way that I am shut off from everybody, at least through the weekend, until I get the answer on this test. And if it turns out that it's you know, positive, then I'll make plans for next week as well. And that'll pretty much get me through the 10 days that I need to get through. All right? All right. Let's go to the phones. Bo is on the Birmingham broker phone line on a cell. Bo, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Okay. I've got an answer for the big stupid question.
Can't wait to hear it.
I don't know the artist, but when I was a kid, I'm 60. When I was a kid, I remember hearing on WVOK, the Mighty 690, the song, "Where, Oh, Where Can My Baby Be?" The Lord took
her away. Where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. I know that Pearl Jam did a remake of that one. Was it Gene Pitney that did it originally?
I have.
Hold on. I got. Is this it? J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, they had to be one-hit wonders also then.
Probably. But what, if you're going to have a hit, that's a good one to have, man. That's a good
it
one
is,
to have.
It is.
Yeah. Beautiful, Bo. Thank you for the call, sir. Yeah,
thank
the
you.
Good Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good.
I see it's so Wayne Cochran was the guy that recorded originally. He's the one that wrote it.
He really originally did Last Kiss.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've seen Wayne Cochran. I know his work. Good guy. Larry is on a cell phone. Larry, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
How about Ode to Billy Joe, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. You know, why would that kill you, though? Was there water down there? I don't understand it. And I still don't know. What were they throwing off the bridge? That's what I want to know. They were throwing something off the bridge, and then later he jumped off.
I want to know, too, but we never got the answer.
No answers whatsoever. Well, it shall remain a mystery forever. Thank you, Larry.
Didn't they make a TV movie about that, and he was gay?
They did. Was that what it was? Robbie Benson played Billy Joe McAllister, as I recall, in that. The Tallahatchie Bridge. John is on a cell phone. John, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on? Howdy.
Richard, back in the 70s, there was a 45 that an uncle of mine had, and it was, I believe the name of the artist was called Blood Rock. The name of the song was DOA, and it was the most haunting song that I've ever heard.
We were driving. No, I remember. We were sailing along and hit something in the air. Yeah, really depressing and scary. A scary as hell song, really. It's one of the eeriest songs ever. They actually had other good songs, but they were so hopelessly overshadowed by DOA. That band never recovered from that one, man. A shame indeed. Thank you, John. Good call. All right, we'll squeeze more calls in when we come back. Interested in your take on it? 545-9950, 844-455-9950. About an hour from now, we're going to have my lawyer, Chuck Davis, on, and he's going to be talking law, so stick around. Never guess who wrote this.
Neil Sedaka.
That's a good guess. No, it was the same guy that wrote Escape the Pina Colada song. Rupert Holmes. Rupert Holmes wrote that song. It was done by the Buies in the 1970s. And it didn't take a long time because it's very catchy, and it did make a run of the charts. And then people began to understand that this song's about cannibalism. And so the record company attempted to dispel that and suggest, no. Timothy was a mule. He was a pack mule. That's all it was, is they killed and ate the pack mule. And Rupert Holmes, the writer of the song, was asked about, is that true? And he was like, oh, no, absolutely not. Timothy was a person. That was the point I was trying to make. Timothy was a human being. And that was the end of that. So it's kind of a minor hit. It didn't get the sort of legs that it could have, especially being as catchy and upbeat and, you know, kind of rocking as it is. Anyway, sometimes subject matter makes a difference. I love that song. I loved it when I was a kid.
My brother was so much.
Oh, my brother was a big fan of it, and so he had it and listened to it quite frequently. And I really took to it. And many's the time over the years, I would talk to somebody about it before, you know, we had Google or computers or the World Wide Web that we could go to. I'd be like, "Do you remember a song called Timothy?" Because I couldn't remember who did it. You remember a song called Timothy? Nope, no clue. People my age, no recollection of it whatsoever, all acted like it never happened. And then later, yeah, the web came up and I found it and I was like, I knew I wasn't crazy. 12:31, talk995.com. Jeremy is in Bessemer and he has some thoughts on what I can expect with the Rona. You have you've been down Rona Road, have you, man?
Well, as a member of the Rona Club, Richard, I can tell you, go ahead and clear your calendar for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
It started off as kind of mild symptoms, little sinus, chest kind of feeling a little groggy. And then about day four, it kicked in overdrive and it was fever, extreme weakness. Just lethargic, man. It was horrible. I kind of equate it to the flu times 10.
Wow.
Multiply the flu times 10. That's about what it feels like. Just misery. And it's been, my 14 days was up after, December, 10th. And I still have not completely regained my sense of smell or taste.
Oh my. Okay then. You're not giving me a lot of hope here, man. Maybe I have a milder case. Maybe I don't have the Jeremy version of this, huh?
If it does make you feel better, both my daughters were diagnosed with it at the same time that I was.
Yeah.
They just lost their sense of taste and smell for a couple of days, had a little chest congestion, you know, sinus for about 3-4 days. And then they were fine. So,
are they significantly younger than you, though? I mean, obviously they're children. So, because it seems to me like kids.
They're 17 and 16. So, yeah, they're still young and full of life. Me, I'm old and half dead. So.
All right, so I'll be holding on to something and preparing for Saturday when it comes along and wallops me like a cricket bat upside the head. You have an answer to the big stupid question of the day as well, I assume.
Well, has anyone said the Edmunds Fitzgerald yet?
No, of course not. That's a great one, though. I mean, there's a lot of people.
I mean, it's got a catchy little beat to it.
It's catchy for the first, I don't know, what, 6 verses? And then the final 11, it tends to drag a little bit, so...
Then it becomes Steely Dan trying to get closer to his home, right?
It's a long... Hey, that's Grand Funk trying to get closer to his home.
Oh,
yeah, that is a long-ass song, man. That is a long-ass song. Thank you, Jeremy. I love it. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your scaring the bejesus out of me with the coronavirus symptoms. Yeah, there is a documentary on Hulu, I believe, about Gordon Lightfoot. And I started watching it last week when I was putting my video game system together. And, I'd forgotten just how prolific the guy was. The writing that he did was quite astounding, the amount of it and the fact that it got covered by, you know, so much of what he did was covered by so many people. He really was, I guess if you could compare him to anybody contemporary of his time, you would say he was the Canadian Bob Dylan, because he just churned them out at an amazing pace, and he's got this long, long historic career of so many great songs. And, you know, like Dylan, not that many of them became hits, but if you were into Gordon Lightfoot, you knew his stuff. You know, I mean, you were fully aware of the music that he was making, which tended to be more folky and a little on the lighter side, but he got some good electric stuff in there, too. 1235, Carl's in Gardendale. Carl, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Hello, Richard.
Howdy.
I was going to say Edmund Fitzgerald, so I had to think quick on my feet, and I'm going to go with the Grateful Dead song, Casey Jones.
Casey, driving that train.
The engine gleams and the fireman just screams.
Yes, indeedy. I like it.
Know where they're headed.
Thank you, Carl. Right, I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's not a whole lot of rock groups doing songs about trains anymore, but one of my favorites was the Grateful Dead off of In the Dark. That was the one that had Touch of Grey on it, right? And they had a song on there written by Brett Midland, their late keyboard player. Let's face it. All of the Grateful Dead keyboard players could be described as the late whatever, late Vince Welnick, the late Brett Midland. It's called Tons of Steel, and it's about a train that is out of control. And it never gets to the actual part where anybody dies, but it's a fascinating tale. It's probably my favorite Grateful Dead song of all time, which is weird. I saw them do it live many years ago, and just a great, great tune. And not their normal stuff. Gina is in Townley. Gina, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Well, have you tried taking vitamin C and Zicam?
This is what they tell me, is to pound down the zinc and the C, and I'm on my way to do exactly that.
And try to use some elderberry, but I also got the dumb question of the...
It's the big, stupid question of the day, question. Gina. Get it right, Missy.
Okay, Bob Marley, I Shot the Sheriff, and Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven.
Wow. Yeah, that's very good. You know what's really sad about the Bob Marley song? He did not shoot the deputy, because the deputy was the problem, in my opinion. He almost always is. I mean, Sheriff Andy Taylor, great guy. Barney Fife, nothing but trouble. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
He should have shot him.
Are you drinking a bunch of fruit juices and eating soups?
What are you, my mother? Is that what we are now? You're calling up and mothering me?
I mean, my sister-in-law has just recently got out of the hospital with the coronavirus. Ended up having corona pneumonia. If you have an underlying asthma or something, it will bring it on.
Yeah. I do not have underlying asthma, which is good. I do have difficulty breathing right now as a result of this, and I've got a pantry stocked with soup, so I will be going after that probably this evening because, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not seeing anybody. I'll pound down the fruit juices. I got plenty of that on hand, too. Thank you, Gina.
Do you have any Vicks Vapor Rub by any chance?
I do not have any Vicks Vapor Rub because I'm not four, but I could get someone to deliver it to me.
Okay, well, that would help you. You know, like how your mother used to put it on your chest a bit. You got a bed.
What are you doing?
That would help you open up. I mean,
is this some sort of fantasy of yours, Gina? Is that what's going on? Have we drifted into your little fantasy life? I'm concerned about you.
I'm on a CPAP at night, so I have to have the Vicks Vapor Rub underneath my nose to breathe.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That sounds difficult.
So that's a home remedy, I guess you could say.
There you
I
go.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you, Gina. I will look into all of your suggestions and see if I can't get the Vicks Vapor Rub. I got to get one of those oxygen sensor things to put on my finger. That's something the doctor said.
You need to watch
Jeff
out. She gave off an Annie Wilkes type of vibe right there.
She
man.
Really did. She's my biggest fan. Let's check in with Jeff in Pinson. Jeff, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
You never want to use a Vicks Vapor Rub in place of of KY. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was
thanks for the heads up on that. I wasn't going to, but you know.
In terms of the big stupid, the night they drove old Dixie down. But, you know, you're talking about Timothy. Didn't they have a salsa version of Timothy and Eating Raul?
Did they? I don't think I've ever seen all of Eating Raul. I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
That was my pitiful attempt at humor on my part.
Ah, thank you. Very
salsa
nice.
Salsa version of Timothy.
A salsa version. Get it? A salsa version. Get off my phone line. Goodbye. Let's talk to Richard in Ragland. He has more Rona stories for me. Richard, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Yes, I'm a member of the Rona Club, and I have asthma and kidney disease.
Wow.
I went through this back in early to mid-December, and my symptoms were pretty minimal.
Okay.
Day four, I ran a fever of just a little over 100 with chills. Day five, I was weak. Day six, no problem. Day seven, no problem. Eight and nine, no problem. Day 10, ran the same fever and body chills. Day 11, a little weak. And then after that, no problem.
Well, let's hope that I more closely mirror you than I do Jeremy, who apparently, you know, every single thing that came down the line assaulted him.
Right. And I'm 59 years old. So I didn't lose my taste. I didn't lose my smell. I didn't lose my appetite. Didn't have any trouble breathing.
Well, now you're just bragging,
all
really.
All that was fine. Now, one of the things I did do is I got my wife to make sure that the house was stocked with plenty of Chinese hot and sour soup.
Ooh,
and
I do
so
love
I
some hot
had
and sour.
At least a cup or two cups of hot and sour soup every day. There's something magical about hot and sour soup.
I happen to have some in my cabinet. I've got the mix for it anyway, and I've never made it from this mix before, but I'm willing to give it a try now that you've mentioned that, because, God, I love hot and sour soup. It's my favorite Chinese soup by far.
Yes. And the answer to the big stupid question of the day, The Ballad of Casey Jones, but by Johnny Cash.
Why is it got to be by Johnny Cash?
Oh, because that's the guy that did it right.
Okay. Far be it from me to argue with somebody who survived the Rona Club. You sound like a man who knows what he's talking about.
Have an exquisite day.
I will do my best. Thank you, Richard. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, continue with your phone calls, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Don't touch that dial.
It was April 27th in the year of 91, about a mile below the surface and the warm Kentucky sun. The late shift was ending and the early shift was late, and the foreman ate his dinner from a dirty tin plate. Blood on the tracks, blood in the mine. Brothers and sisters, what a terrible time. 97 went in the wrong hole. Now in my number 60, there's blood on the coal.
That would be the Folksmen. There are many songs about mining disasters and some about railroad disasters. Very few songs actually combine the two like this one. Blood on the coal. Yikes. 1246, Talk99.5, Talk99.5.com. So what you want is a huge selection, but little itty-bitty prices, right? And you would think that you'd have to go to one of these massive, overwhelming, sprawling stores to find that. But that's just not true. You can find exactly that in the jewelry world at Anthony and Company Jewelers. True story, they're a smaller operation, family-run, third generation, they've been at this now, but they've got a lot of jewelry in there. It's, you know, they don't spread it out. They keep it all pretty tight and close together in there, which is why there is such a great selection. And they can guarantee you the lowest prices because out of all the time they've been doing this, half of it has been wholesaling. So they know how to get the best prices on the best stones. What are you waiting for? If you need a piece of jewelry, just make sure that they're in the mix when it comes to shopping. Anthony and Company Jewelers, you're going to be satisfied because that's what they do. They satisfy people. Let's talk to EC. Which I should mention this. It's AnthonyCoJewelers.com on the World Wide Web. EC is in beautiful Hueytown. What's up, EC?
Hey, I heard y'all moving up in the world. You got caller ID now.
Is that right?
Yep.
I wouldn't know. I'm not there.
Well, you do. You know, Dave would tell you. Anyway, what I was going to say, yeah, it was beautiful today when I went to Hueytown. When I saw it sign my rear view mirror, I actually went there. But
good for you.
Richard, I want some words of encouragement for you in case you do get the coronavirus. My brother had it, him and his wife here a while back, a couple months ago, and, you know, they're in the late 50s, and my brother, he eats pretty well, if you know what I mean, and he went right through it. I mean, yeah, he had a headache a little bit, coughed a little bit, and lost his sense of smell for a little while, but, you know, about a week later, he's out jogging, you know, trying to get back in shape and whatever, and so I think you'll be okay. And then the other thing is, you know, is vitamin C and zinc. Is that what I'm hearing? And
oh, yeah.
What I've heard is eat plenty of gummy bears.
Gummy bears? That one? Yeah, I've not heard that.
Plenty of gummy bears.
I don't care
you
for
have them. To eat handfuls of them, and then sooner or later you'll poop that virus right out of you.
Not a fan. Going to pass on that. But thank you for the suggestion. Do you have an answer to the big stupid question, EC?
Premature caller ejection. Sorry.
Why would you just eject him like that? He had a big, big stupid
question. He was talking about sugar-free gummy bears and getting the poop.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're okay with wallowing in the poop, but it was a mistake. I know.
The aristocrats. Angry Carrie is up next on a cell phone. AK, you're on Talk 99.5 on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's up?
What's up with you, Richard? Hey, Richard, let's before I answer the stupid question today. Richard, go to the docs, man.
Oh, I will. Yeah, no, I'm going to get tested as soon as I leave the airwaves here. And I've already talked to my doctor who said, if you're positive, she's already phoned in some stuff for me. So I'm in good, capable hands, AK. Trust me.
Yeah, man, because I feel that, Richard, you're the best-kept secret in Birmingham for his radio. I'm talking about, like, you know, like you remind me of my older brother, which he was a black hippie. And, you know, and for his music and stuff, you know, man, y'all, both of y'all deep. Don't agree with him all the time, just like you, but, man, I love you. The stupid question of the day. Jamie Got a Gun by Aerosmith.
Oh! Janie got a gun. She's, yeah, she apparently was being abused by her father. Did you see the video for that? Who was it, Leslie Ann Warren in that or Leslie Ann Downs? It's one of the two Leslie Anns, I know, and they were both really hot.
Don't remember. The only thing I remember about Aerosmith videos back then is they had a lot of hot girls on.
Yeah.
Including
Yeah, I think they basically wore out the casting couch, man. That's what it was all about with Steven Tyler. Beautiful, AK. Thank you for the kind words, by the way. I appreciate it. I would prefer not to be a secret. You know how it works? Those people are like, you're the best kept secret. Why am I a secret? Can we stop being secretive about this? Can't I just be, like, well-known? Could we try that on for size? Everyone wants to be Leland. Doug is in Clay County. Doug, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, man?
I have a great answer for the big stupid question.
Hit me.
It is four dead in Ohio.
Four dead in Ohio. Florida,
and you know that is a real happening there, and I have one more for you.
Okay.
Okay, it's Jan and Dean, Dead Man's Curve.
Won't come back from Dead Man's Curve. Great stuff.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
love me some good 60s surf rock. That was they were the Beach Boys before the Beach Boys were cool. Lovely. Thank you for the call, Doug. Appreciate it. Let's talk to John in Hoover. Johnny, you're on Talk 99.5 looking for a song about death and destruction. What do you got?
Yeah, you're no secret. I've known about you for years.
Well, really? So who told you? That's what I want to know. You didn't mean my sexual preference. Okay. I understand. I misunderstood. Yeah. Never mind. It's okay.
That I can't reveal. Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Poisoning Pigeons in the... Who did that song? I remember it. I can't remember.
Tom Lehrer, I believe.
Tom Lehrer, that's exactly who it was. Great song, very funny, very upbeat, beautiful. Thank you for the call, Johnny, and thank you for the kind words. Now let's talk to Katie, who is in Hoover. Katie, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, I had a big answer to the big stupid question. Adam's song by Blink 182. I didn't get it in middle school,
yeah.
And it was, as I got older, I started listening to the lyrics. It's awful.
Was that the band where the drummer was in a plane accident, I want to say? He actually was in...
Yes, he survived the plane crash, Travis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If that doesn't change your outlook on life, I'd like to think that might, give you pause for a second and re-examine your priorities. Still playing Adam's song in concert, though, so apparently it didn't change his priorities that much. Thank you, Katie. Beautiful. Great song, by the way. 12:53. Okay, other stuff that we have in the news that needs to be addressed. Joe Biden gave one of the most generic inaugural speeches in the history of inaugural speeches. He then went on to sign today a bunch of generic executive orders. I'll share them with you, but it's another one of these. We may be looking at the generic presidency. What do I mean by that? I mean, everybody speaks good platitudinous terms, but when it comes down to the details, look, we can all agree we would like to see less crime. We would like to see fewer drugs on our streets, right? Illegal drugs anyway. We want to see a roaring economy. A generic president comes out and says, I'm promising you less crime and fewer illegal drugs on the streets and a roaring economy. And then he goes back and he signs some executive orders saying, I want less crime and fewer illegal drugs on the streets and a roaring economy. And everyone goes, yeah, but how are we going to do this? Well, I'm not a detail guy. That's essentially what Joe Biden did today. He signed a bunch of executive orders that didn't really amount to much of anything, which I shouldn't be surprised by. A guy 47 years in government can't really point to even two accomplishments. It's sad. First News Time, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com.